Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, I'm glad I'm in church tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. Glory to God. Verse 10 says this. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Somebody say, "Be strong." "And in the power of his might." He says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul tells the Philippian church, "I can do all things." Somebody say, "All things." Everything. Hallelujah. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Hallelujah. We need to be strong, and that's where we're going to get our strength, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. We'll talk about this in a minute, but I'm going to talk about, Lord, make me strong. Hallelujah. You need some strength tonight. Lord, make me strong. Sweet Jesus, we give you glory and honor tonight. Lord, we offer ourselves to you. We ask you to have your way. Lord, I ask that you would anoint me tonight, that you would let your word come forth, that you would cleanse me from all that would be contrary to you. Empty me even of all of myself, Lord, that I could be an empty vessel, that your spirit could flow into me and that your words could flow out. Help us tonight, Lord. Speak to us. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to receive. Give us minds to understand. Do what you would do with us tonight, Lord, and let no opposition stand between us and what you've got for us. Hallelujah. Everybody said, "In Jesus' name." Oh, clap your hands like you love the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Have a seat in the presence of the Lord. God bless you. I'm going to try to be careful with my voice tonight. I know that I was hard to listen to on Sunday. It's not entirely my fault. There was this cat. And this cat, it didn't attack me, but some cats get to me. And this happened a month ago. I almost got over that cat. And then I worked in a building and then there was some dust. And then I almost got over the dust. And there was another cat in another house. I almost got over that cat, and then I worked outside in the yard, and something got me again, and I'm going to get a voice back, I promise. I don't always sound like this. Hallelujah. Oh, you know what you do when you don't have much voice? You sing. Did you ever hear this song? It's a simple song, but it said, "I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Hallelujah. That's just an old song comes to my mind tonight, but there is nothing that you're not able to do. There is no limit to what you might would accomplish if you don't trust in your own self. If you can trust in the Lord and in the power of his might, and you can be strong in what he has to offer. Hallelujah. Limitless strength. Limitless power. All the potential if we can get our strength from the right place. I was beginning to think about strength. I don't know what kind of day that you had today. Maybe you're glad you made it to church. Maybe you almost went to bed instead. I don't know. But somehow, sometimes Monday's not as good as Sunday. I don't know if you ever had a Monday that was a real Monday kind of Monday. And a Tuesday that followed and just really, really beat that by a mile. But I didn't have a bad day. But I didn't hit any home runs today. It wasn't the finest day I've ever seen. I went to visit a man in the hospital today, a neighbor of ours who's been a precious friend for years. I wanted to go. I wanted to pray for him. I wanted to comfort his family. He's been doing very poorly. Before I was even able to arrive, you know what? I got to the hospital. He was dead. The man that I went to visit, I would have prayed. I would have asked the Lord to heal. I would have asked the Lord to strengthen. I would have hoped that there would be a different outcome. But when I got there, my day was not, it didn't go the way I hoped. I was able to, sometimes you can't even pray for people. You just look at people with a look of compassion. You hold a hand, you hug somebody, and you say, "I love you." And you walk away because they're not ready to receive any. These were not Holy Ghost people. These were not people that were just, "Oh, please pray for me." We just told each other we loved each other, and I went home. I had a friend who was a young minister Oh, years and years ago, this guy named Danny. And the first time that Danny went to pray for somebody in the hospital, that person died the next day. And then he told me that the first three people, maybe the first four people he prayed for in the hospital, every one of them died. And it sounded humorous, but he thought, people are going to say to the pastor, stop sending Danny. Send me somebody else because we want to live. But sometimes you go through days that there's no success to be found in your day. And you just trust that the Lord is going to help, that the Lord is going to help you overcome. But I thought about this man when I thought about strength. This was my neighbor. He was not an old man, but he was a feeble man because he'd gone through so much sickness and so much attack in his health. He'd had cancer treatments and all of these things. He used to be strong. Now he was weak. I had visited him, a couple of weeks ago, and he couldn't hardly stand up. We helped him get up out of his chair, and he said, I'm up. And then I watched him and he fell back onto the chair because he wasn't up. I didn't want to leave him that day because he was going to keep walking around. And I knew if I leave, this guy's going to fall. I had a neighbor just like this in San Antonio, a very strong man who was, 100 pounds bigger than me. Just a big, strong. He wasn't very tall, but he was thick. And he could throw me from here to that wall. I just know it. But when he got sick, and when his strength began to drain from him, I went to visit him and I had to help him get from a chair to the bed because he wasn't able to even pick his feet up to move himself across the room. And I thought about how strength in our physical bodies is something that's so fragile, something that we cannot depend on, something we cannot rely on the strength of today to be here tomorrow. Sometimes you think that you're strong. Sometimes you're the one who can move the couch all by yourself with one hand. But you let a decade go by and you got to use two hands. And you let another decade go by and you say, can somebody else move that couch? It might not have happened to you yet, but wait. But wait, the older I get, the stronger I used to be. All the stories I could tell you about what I could do a few years ago. But sometimes we need some help. And tonight, somebody who needs help, strength for your body is going to be found in the presence of the Lord. Strength for your mind. Maybe you got the kind of job that drains your mind and you got to think all day and you got to solve problems and you come to the house of God weary. But the Lord's going to renew your mind. Sometimes you go through fights in this world and you're trying to overcome the fiery darts of the enemy and you've got your armor on, but it seems like some of these things are getting through and your spirit is weary, but the Lord is going to lift somebody up tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, we go through attacks. We go through difficulties. We go through challenges. Strength is one of our very greatest needs. When we think on a Sunday that we're so strong, I can run over a wall. No, I can jump over a wall. I can run through a troop. I can do all kinds of mighty and wonderful things through the power of God. But then Monday comes along and just shoots you in the face. You say, where did my power go? Where did my strength go? Yesterday I had a made-up mind, and today I feel alone, and today I feel like I don't know where God went. You got challenges. Maybe you got a job. Some people have jobs where they work very hard, and you pick up heavy things, or you drive heavy equipment, or you drive trucks, or you drive nails. Whatever it is that you do, it makes your body weary. Or maybe you think all day, and you got to solve problems and difficulties. Maybe you got a spouse. I've got one. I recommend it. Being married is a wonderful thing, but I'm going to tell you, it is a challenge. Somebody who told you the fairy tale of happily ever after, that was just a story. They didn't know that there was some challenges that face you every day to try to please this person and to try to please that person. If you've got children, sometimes you wonder, when is it my turn to be pleased? When is somebody going to take care of mama? Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Maybe you've gone to school. You had to learn all of the information that they gave you. There's going to be a test on this stuff. You got pressure to succeed. You're daily, your mind is faced and attacked with all these challenges. How much information do you suppose you process on a daily basis? You got to identify this crisis and you've got to come up with a solution. And while that solution is being produced by your mind, somebody's already saying, no, that's not going to work. They got a problem to shoot down every solution that you can come up with. And before you get this one fixed, you got another one coming. Some people, leadership coaches and people who tell you how to live your life effectively and successfully, they say that you ought to have a plan. They say you ought to have a one-year plan. Where do you see yourself in a year? You ought to have a 5-year plan for your life, for your career, for your ministry. You ought to have a 10-year plan. What are you going to do 10 years down the road? Can you vision yourself? What do you want to be? Where do you want to go? But do you ever feel like it would be great and you'd be doing fine if you could have a 1-week plan? Like, what are we going to do this weekend? Or a 3-day plan. Can we get to so-and-so's house by Friday? Or a 1-day plan. What are we going to eat tonight? Some people who have small children are challenged to find a 2-hour plan that will not fall apart. So you drag yourself out to church on a Tuesday night. Instead of going to bed, instead of going home to prepare for tomorrow, you could have done something else. But here you are in the house of God, and it's because you're committed to the things of the kingdom of God. You're here tonight because you've got a desire for more of the presence of Jesus in your life. And you are here tonight because you know, this might have not been your thought process, but you're here tonight because you know that you need strength to make it through tomorrow. Oh, without the strength of God in your life, your tired body is going to be overcome. Your racing mind won't be able to find any place to rest. Your spirit is just going to be vexed. You're going to need some strength. So in Ephesians, our text tells us that, gives us the answer. It says, be strong. And we say, well, I'm trying to be strong. I'm trying to be strong. When I thought I was standing, here I am falling. But the verse that we read in Philippians tells us that it is Christ. It's in Jesus Christ that we find our strength. Hallelujah. Not in just trying a little bit harder. Some people will tell you that you're not succeeding, you're not strong because you're just not trying hard enough. But that's not true. You're giving it a good effort. You're doing what you're able to do. Some people seem to be a little bit stronger than others, but really, none of us are going to be able to make it without the help of God. I mean, let's make a list of all the wonderful and mighty things that you're going to accomplish without the Spirit of God in your life. It's going to be a short list. What is it? It's the opposite. I can do all things through Christ, but I can do just about nothing without Christ, without Jesus in my life. What am I going to be able to do? There's more in the Bible about how we're going to find strength. Nehemiah 8 and 10 tells me this. This is a jewel. It says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord. I need strength, right? It tells me in Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy is my source of strength, not happiness. Have we talked about that before? You need to understand, happiness is not the same thing as joy. Happiness is something kind of situational. Happiness is not so stable. Happiness, I like to say it like this, happiness depends on whether things are going right for you. You can be happy because you're eating ice cream. I like ice cream. Brownies, cake, ribs, whatever it is that makes you happy, you can just smile because you got something that's good. But you can look out the window at the same time and see a tree fall on your car. And with the taste of ice cream still in your mouth, your happiness has drained away. You're suddenly disappointed. You're suddenly sad. Happiness is so fragile. Happiness depends on everything going just about right. But joy is not happiness. Joy is not an emotion that changes with my circumstance. Joy is an unchanging mindset. Joy is a spiritual condition. And it is the joy of the Lord that makes me strong. Where do I get that joy? Oh, I found this too. Psalm 16 and 11. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. It's in the presence of the Lord that you're going to receive that joy. It's in the presence of Jesus himself that your heart will be flooded with that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Have you thought about unspeakable joy? That means I can't even tell you about it. Oh, I feel good somewhere deep in my spirit. I would speak to you about it. I would tell you, but it's too good. I can't even describe it. It's unspeakable joy. Hallelujah. And in his presence, where you find that joy, that's where you're going to get your strength tonight. Oh, it feels good in the house of the Lord tonight. Oh, clap your hands one more time. Clap your hands. Lift your voice to Jesus. Oh, go ahead and practice lifting your voice to the Lord tonight. Go ahead and practice finding your way into his presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know that's how you get into the presence of the Lord? We've already done it tonight here in this service when we were singing the songs of Zion. We're saying, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us sing power and majesty, praise to the King. That invites his presence. That gets us to where Jesus is. It is through our praise. It's by worshiping Jesus with our hearts that we draw near to him. I love this right here. Somebody preached this to me a few years ago. I heard somebody preach this idea, and I didn't believe it. I said, where did you get that? So, because somebody wants to tell you what the Hebrew word means and what the Greek word means, and I don't speak Hebrew. I don't speak Greek. I'm working on English. But I went and I studied and I thought, what? Because Hebrew is a complex language. I can't teach you much about Hebrew, but I know that if you find a word in Hebrew and you find what they translated it into in English, English is much more plain. English doesn't have as much substance to it as Hebrew does. Hebrew, they put a little bitty kind of mark at the end of this letter. It suggests this or it implies that. So in the Hebrew, this verse in Psalm 22 and verse 3 talks about God, and it refers to him as the one who inhabitest the praises of Israel. Where you've heard people say this, God inhabits praise. He inhabits the praises of his people. But Psalm 22 and 3, he inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now that word in the Hebrew for inhabitest does not just mean to dwell somewhere or to stay somewhere or to rest. It implies, it suggests to sit. What does that mean? Like in a recliner, like he's going to come and hang out and have a seat. Now that's not what that means. No, it implies a little bit more. We're talking Hebrew tonight. You didn't know we were speaking Hebrew, but it implies to sit as if someone would sit on a throne or on the chair where the judge seats. It implies sitting in the place of authority. Some translations of the Bible, that's the King James, some of the other versions of the Bible say God is enthroned upon the praises of Israel. What are you talking about tonight? I'm saying when we praise the name of Jesus, we put him on the throne of our lives. When we praise the name of Jesus, we give him the proper authority in our situation. We recognize that he is the Lord of Lords, that he is the King of Kings, and we draw close to him. We glorify him with our praise, and he comes close. He takes a seat on that throne of authority. And he begins to reign. He begins to rule. If you can picture a courtroom, we don't have a king in America, but we've seen people in courtrooms, and there might be a chair where the judge sits. Nothing happens in the courtroom if nobody's sitting in that judge's seat. If nobody's sitting in the place of authority, there will be no declarations made. There will be no sentences passed. There will be no decisions. But when the judge comes in, sits in that place of authority, something's going to happen. He's going to speak some things. Some decisions will be made and some lives will be changed when the judge, when the ruler comes and sits in his proper place of authority. Does that make some sense? Hallelujah. When we praise the name of Jesus, he takes charge of our situations. When we recognize his authority, when we offer sacrifices of praise, oh, the Lord comes close and he takes control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This just comes to mind. It's not something I planned on talking about tonight, but I love this. And maybe I've talked about it before. I'm going to talk about it again. Maybe next week and the week after that, because it's beautiful. If the Lord fills your life, if you are baptized with the Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what happens? You begin to speak in words that you don't understand. You begin to speak in a language that's not yours. That's the Lord speaking. One place in the Bible you find, it's in one of the books of Corinthians, it says that he who speaketh in an unknown tongue is speaking to God. But in Acts chapter 2, you find that it was the Spirit of God that gave the people the utterance. It made them able to speak in the languages they don't know. So, stay with me. You're speaking to God, but God is giving you the words to say. This is the same God who declared in the Old Testament, "My word will not return unto me void." If I say something, it's going to accomplish just what I said for it to do. Hallelujah. And if I am allowing the Lord to speak through me in whatever language he wants to speak and say the things that he wants to say, it doesn't matter if I understand. It's going to be something marvelous. If the Lord's going to take the opportunity to speak, he's going to say something that ought to be said, and it's going to come to pass. It's a good reason for you and me to seek the Lord every day and try to find a spiritual moment where we can pray through each day. Pray until you speak some things that you don't understand. Speak in your own language, then let the Lord speak what he wants to say. It would be great every day that the Lord would make a declaration over your soul and over your life. I'm not saying that you've got to speak in tongues every day just to be saved. I'm saying that you ought to. It would be good for you. Paul said it would be edifying. He said that it would be strengthening. It would be good for us. We ought to seek the Lord until each day becomes a spiritual encounter in his presence. Hallelujah. And it is in our worship. It is in that praise where we begin to receive the things that the Lord wants to give us. What are you talking about tonight? I'm saying that I've got some Bible examples of people whose needs were met when they came and worshiped Jesus. You can find in Matthew 15, the man in it was this lady from Canaan. She was not a Jew. She was not entitled to any of the promises of Jesus. In fact, he told her, "I'm not sent to you." She came and said, "I've got a need. My daughter is vexed and I need you to help me." And he says, "I'm not here to help you." He says, "I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel. I'm not here for you today." God has not said that to you and me. He told her, "I'm not here to help you." And then it says in Matthew 15, 25, she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he met her need. She got what she needed when she came to Jesus and worshiped. Hallelujah. Same thing happened in Mark chapter 5. You remember the man who was in the tombs at the Gadarenes, and it says that they would try to bind him with chains, and they couldn't bind him. He would cut himself, and he would scream and howl. He was just miserable, and he was possessed. But when Jesus came to that place, when the boat that they were in landed on the shore, it says in Mark 5 and 6, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Thousands of devils possessed this man, and they could not keep him from running to the feet of Jesus to worship. There's nothing in your life that can keep you from the presence of God tonight. If you want to run to worship Jesus, you'll receive, and nothing can keep you from his presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Miracles are received when we worship. Do you ever, I try to think about what we do and our customs and the things that we've learned how to do over the years and some of the things that we used to do that people have not learned so much to do anymore. But there's things we do when we want to praise. You can raise your hands in surrender to God. You can wave your hands because that's all you've got. You're going to wave your hands. You're going to try to get the attention of Jesus. Say, "You're wonderful to me." Some people will jump. Some people will dance. And some people will clap their hands. It's wonderful things that we do to try to get his attention, to try to say, "Lord, I'm yours. I'm giving myself to you." But there is a difference between a person who is engaging in worship, somebody who is participating in praise, and somebody who is a worshiper. There's a difference between somebody who is willing to participate and somebody who says, I am a worshiper. A worshiper is somebody who's got their mind made up. You don't have to persuade a worshiper to worship the Lord. I don't have to talk somebody into praising the name of Jesus if you've already decided that you're going to be a worshiper. You've been in church where somebody said, wouldn't you like to praise the Lord? And the people are like, because they're not worshipers, because they're not already, their mind is not made up. They have not committed that I'm going to worship the Lord tonight, regardless of what everybody else does. I have come to glorify the name of Jesus. Now, a worshiper doesn't care what kind of song they're singing. A worshiper doesn't say, well, I would praise, but I don't like the way that person sings. I would praise, but I don't approve of that person who is up there leading the service. And because I don't approve, or because I don't like, or because I'm not comfortable, or because this, and this, I say, I will not worship the Lord. Scary stuff. That's not a decision I ought to make. When I decide that I will not praise the Lord, I haven't made a good decision. I should have gone the other way with that choice. Hallelujah. But a worshiper has a made up mind. A worshiper knows that my life's call and greatest purpose is to give glory to God. Go ahead and practice that one more time. Go ahead and call on the name of the Lord. Oh, say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I want to be a worshiper. Lord, I want to give you all that I am. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's not a contest. You got to understand there are people who think it's how fast you can run across the front or how high you can jump or how loud you can shout. Somebody's going to be louder. Somebody will be faster than you. Somebody will dance better. I'm not much of a dancer. I might do this. Nobody would say, oh, look at that guy dancing. No, but I'm going to give the Lord what I've got, and it's going to come from deep within. It's going to come from my heart. I'm going to say, Lord, I've got love within me that I have to express to you. There was a day, there was a time where people used to talk a lot about, oh, look at sister so-and-so, she's dancing in the spirit. Have you heard people say that? Now, when I was a child, I believed that what that meant was that sister so-and-so was not in control of what she was doing. That the Lord had taken her feet and her body and was making her dance, and it was a spiritual activity, not a physical activity, but that the Lord was making her dance. And I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe it. It's not worship if the Lord makes me do it. If the Lord was going to make me do it, he would make all of us do it. Every time I've raised my hands and waved them to the Lord, it's been my choice. Every time I've jumped, I've said, I have decided I'm going to jump and leap before the Lord. If I run, if I dance, if I shout, that's up to me. I'm not saying it can't be a spiritual thing. I'm not saying the Lord won't be in it and that something mighty and something might. You've seen people with their eyes closed just dance along the edge of the stairs and not fall off because the Lord is in that. But that doesn't mean that if your eyes are open and you're just doing that, that you're in the flesh. What do you got to worship the Lord with but your flesh? Glory. God is great. Is that what the book says? And he is greatly to be praised. It doesn't say God is great and you ought to praise him a little bit. It says God is great, so you ought to praise him greatly. He ought to get a big praise. He ought to be somebody that we would praise. You're going to clap your hands when the mayor walks in, or you'll clap your hands for some celebrity. We ought to give the Lord greater praise than we'd give anybody else. Hallelujah. So when we seek his face, when we gather in the altar, we ought not just to come because we're trying to be compliant or we're trying to be obedient and we're trying to cooperate. We don't just come and say, oh, praise the Lord. No, the Lord is great. He ought to be praised greatly. There will be great victory that would come through the praise of your mouth. Hallelujah. Your victory. Some people don't like this. Some people don't believe it. But it's true. Your victory is in your voice. And I'm not saying how loud you are and how cool you sound. I'm saying that it's easy to clap. I'm saying you can raise your hands because everybody else is. But your victory is in the sincere praises of your voice. Hallelujah. There are people who come sometimes to get prayed for because they've got needs in their life. Because and we do it the right way. The Bible says in James that if is anybody sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint him with oil. And the prayer of faith, they'll pray for him in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. So we come and we lift our hands. We say, Pastor, Minister, somebody pray for me. Put the oil on me and put your hand on me and somebody say in Jesus' name. And I'll say, thank you, Jesus. And I'll have faith and I'll go and I'll sit. And how many times do we go home feeling almost the same way? Sometimes we get healed. Sometimes there's a miracle. And sometimes we say, I did it right. I went, they laid hands on me in the name of the Lord. There was oil. There was the name of Jesus. And I said, thank you, Lord. I had faith and I'm still sick. Why? Would it help if we were to praise the name of Jesus? Would it help if in the midst of our efforts to obey and in the midst of our asking the Lord to help us, if we would do what we just looked at in the knowing that the Lord inhabits praise, knowing that the Lord is enthroned upon praise, knowing that there are moments where in the Bible Jesus said, I'm not sent to this lady, but she praised, she worshiped, she said, glory to you. I recognize that you are the God of all creation, and it touched his heart, and he was willing to supply her need, even though she had no reason to expect it. She came, she worshiped. Tonight would be a great night for us to practice becoming worshipers. It would be a great night for us to become better praisers than we've ever been. Hallelujah. And I didn't say I'm going to try to make you do anything tonight. I'm saying that there's power. I'm saying that there's victory in your worship. And when you let your voice out and say glory and honor to the name of Jesus. No, we don't praise. Listen, we don't praise and say, oh, Lord, help me. Lord, please help me. Lord, won't you help me? I'm sick and I need you to touch me. Lord, I've got a need and I need you to do this for me. Oh, Lord, won't you help? No. The Lord knows what you need. The Lord's aware of your sickness. You don't have to give him a chart and say, look here what the doctor said. He knows. You don't have to show him your bank account and say, look, Lord, I need this much money, but I've only got this much. He knows that. What we ought to do is seek his presence and seek to glorify him and to honor him for how great and how mighty and how gracious and how merciful and how loving he is. Watch what happens when we give him glory without saying, Lord, help, Lord, please, but just to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus, your name is holy. Glory to God. That's where you're going to find your strength. Hallelujah. Do you remember? That's what we're talking about tonight. You need to get into his presence where you're going to find the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. You need to get stronger tonight. You need to get, you can't go into tomorrow with the strength of today. This is an hour where you better not stay weak. We're not going to make it if we're going to be weak Christians. Hallelujah. We've got to be strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you some ideas. I'm going to give you some suggestions. How do I praise the Lord? How do I let my voice out? David was pretty good at that. David didn't find a book to read about all the things that you could say to praise the Lord. He just said, I'm going to say some stuff. And he said in Psalm chapter 8, you can stand with me. He said, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Hallelujah. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained praise because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. He said, when I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars that thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him. In chapter 9, he said, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thee, O thou most high. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 34, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. In Psalm 63, he said, oh, God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Hallelujah. He said, I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. In Psalm 103, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Hallelujah. Oh, has the Lord redeemed your life from destruction? Can you remember those days of sin, those days in that bar, those days of wickedness, those days and those nights where you were not serving the Lord, and the Lord has brought you out of that miry clay. The Lord has placed your feet on the rock. Have you been delivered tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Lift your hands with me right now. Lift your hands, close your eyes, and begin to just speak the greatness of God. Begin to say something mighty. Begin to say something wonderful about what Jesus has done. It doesn't have to sound like the Bible. It could be, Lord, thank you for loving me. It could be, Lord, thank you for taking me out of that darkness. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being merciful, for seeing me, Lord, among all of the wickedness of this world. Lord, for choosing to rescue me from darkness. Hallelujah. Oh, do you feel the presence of the Lord? Hallelujah. That's what happens when you begin to praise him. Oh, somebody will receive tonight. Keep on doing that. Keep on saying something mighty. Keep on saying something great. Keep on saying something about how much you love him. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Go a little deeper. Go a little farther tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Family, we're going to come to the altar. We're going to praise the name of Jesus together tonight. Oh, hallelujah. We'll dismiss from the altar tonight. We're going to call on his name. Oh, and the Lord's going to heal somebody. The Lord's going to set somebody free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus. Worship you tonight. Lord, I choose.